Welcome to Know Your Ombud. This is a series of conversations aimed at helping you, as the consumer of financial services, to know your rights and where to go if you are not treated fairly. This is a free service, so you do not have to appoint a lawyer. And let's be honest, there's not much in life that you get for free. In each episode, we will examine case studies as examples of how the Ombud adjudicates complaints. We will examine cases where the Ombud has ruled in favor of the consumer and those that go in favor of the financial institution. This helps to explain our rights and responsibilities. But before we chat to the various divisions, it's important to understand how the system works. The several financial sector Ombud schemes were streamlined last year with the creation of a super Ombud in the form of the National Financial Ombud. And this is already delivering better outcomes for consumers. So I'm going to be welcoming Rihanna Steyn, the head Ombud and CEO of the Amalgamated National Financial Ombud. Rihanna, I have known you. I'm just thinking the many years that I've known you. You've been the Ombud for banking services. You were the deputy credit Ombud. But none of that exists anymore.
Yes. Big change in this country. So I think in the financial services landscape, really one of the biggest changes happened last year in March, when four previous schemes that were in existence for more than 20, 25 years, four of them got together and we created this new single biggest scheme called the National Financial Ombud Scheme. So yes, that's the new world.
Big change.
Yes.
So I just want to clarify, because it can get very confusing for the consumer, right? So which of the Ombud schemes now fall under the National Financial Ombud?
So four of the previous schemes that people knew, the credit Ombud, where they deal with non-bank credit. Mm-hmm. So we're talking about the clothing retail, store cards, microfinance, even motor finance that falls outside the banks. So credit, short-term insurance, we now call it non-life, life insurance, and then, of course, the banking ombudsman. Those four organizations that existed separately are now all under one umbrella.
And what's the benefit of doing it like this? Why have you brought this all together?
Well, I think there are many benefits. So I think the biggest thing was to just assist the consumers, to avoid confusion and just this perception that this landscape is so difficult. They don't know where to go. They don't know what to do. So I think over time, we're really hoping that consumers will get to know that there's this one organization you can go to. And no matter what exactly the problem is, and some problems have different angles. You don't have to worry about it. Just come to us. We'll sort it out. Mm. We'll send it to the right department. We will figure out what you need to do. So confusion, but also I think there were different rules amongst the different schemes. And the participants, we're talking now about not members in the financial services, but participants. So for example, one of the big banks, they also have an insurance arm. And they were different rules. The one scheme had so many days and these rules and these, sort of processes. And the other scheme had different turnaround times and different processes. And then, of course, the banks had to deal with different ombud schemes, different rules. It just made it unnecessarily complicated. So I think there are many, many benefits. Those are just two that I can think of top of my head.
Yeah, I must say, I had, even as a journalist, sometimes I would get these complaints and I would say, it's a bank and they've got a mortgage, but they also have life insurance for the mortgage. And is this a long-term? Is this a banking ombud? So I think that's exactly the kind of confusion that's going to sort of, or has been resolved. I mean, I'm seeing it, I have to just tell you from my perspective, it's been a lot easier. I'm seeing a lot more outcomes as a result of that. But one of the things that isn't yet part of the National Financial Ombud is the FASE Ombud. That's the advice side. I know that legislation still needs to change and that the FASE Ombud will eventually fall under the NFO, but are you working closely with the FASE Ombud?
Yes, we do send, so again, consumers, they've now heard about the NFO and they maybe call us or they write, they log a complaint even on our online system. And if we see it's for the FASE Ombud, we know to send it there. We've got a direct link We talk all the time because we also know that that's the future. So we've got a very close working relationship, and I think both sides are looking forward to this this new world down the line where we all fall under one umbrella. Because then the last bit that's standing outside will, you know, if it comes together, it will just make it even more easy for consumers.
Absolutely. And one of the things that I think what we're trying to do with this, Rihanna, is to educate people that the Ombud exists. I was looking at a TikTok video. You know, you see social media, right? People love going to social media and raising all their complaints and issues on social media. And somebody sent me a TikTok video of someone complaining about a bank. And then everybody underneath was, oh, my bank ripped me off and my bank did this and my bank did that. And I actually put a comment in there saying, well, why haven't you gone to the Ombud? Why are you not using the Ombud process? So I think there's obviously an education issue. But when should someone come to the Ombud? At what point in this relationship that's become really tense, whether it's with your insurer, your bank, your credit provider, at what point do they come to you?
Well, the minute they have an issue that's not resolved. I mean, that is what an Ombud scheme does. We resolve disputes between the consumer on the one hand and a financial institution on the other. And the minute they have a dispute, a problem, a complaint, a disagreement that they cannot resolve themselves, that is what we're there for. So we always say that they must first at least complain to the institution. Because I think sometimes on social media, people go immediately on social media saying, this has happened. The ATM didn't dispense the money. They didn't pay my claim. But there's no complaint yet. Because, you know, a complaint process is different. You know, it goes to a different department, often in the institution, where they look at it from a different angle. And they investigate and they, you know, sort of see, why is this, customer of ours unhappy? What happened here? Was it a correct decision that we've made? So it's a very important process internally to log a complaint. So I think sometimes on social media, the people have not even complained yet. So they must first do that. But then the immediate next step, if that complaint is not resolved, if they don't get an answer, if they ignored, which hopefully it doesn't happen, or if it's not resolved to their satisfaction, that is what the Ombud scheme is there for. I mean, it's free of charge. And I see so many, I've also seen those, you know, on all the social media platforms. The minute somebody complains, you know, all the comments, I've also had a case. And, you know, and then they really, you know, serious complaints about all the financial institutions. And it's really sad to see very little knowledge that those people can go to an institution like the Ombud scheme where they've got free of charge assistance. I mean, we've got a huge number of lawyers sitting there waiting to assist them. And then you see people advising the consumers on social media that they must go and consult a lawyer and pay for it. It's not necessary.
It's totally and utterly free.
Correct.
And what are your turnaround times? So if I come to you and I'm upset with my bank and my bank's not resolving it, and I do have to tell you as media, I do get complaints from people. They come to me, they have tried their banks, they sometimes fall into this sort of like black hole of no communication. I'm able to often start that level of communication through, obviously I have that access, so I can send that email through to the bank, and often that does help, but it may be a very complicated case. And when it's a complicated case, it requires you being able to investigate and to look at documents and to look at you know, statements. You know, that is really, I suppose, where having that access to those lawyers, to people who with it for free are able to do that work for you.
You talk about the investigation. It takes time. So unfortunately, it's not a quick fix. It's not something that you complain to us and tomorrow we will have an answer for you. I think in our case, it's more that we'll have the correct answer. We'll have a thorough investigation and a detailed investigation and reading of the documents and the contracts and whatever happened. And then we'll give an outcome. But that takes a bit of time. So the minute we send a complaint through to the financial institution, they've got a couple of weeks to respond in writing with their detailed answer to us, and they will give us an answer. And they also have to provide any documents that they rely on. And then it's allocated to one of the lawyers. So once that is finished, we've got the complaint, we've got the answer, and then we give it to one of our lawyers to now properly assess this issue against the response. And sometimes it requires further investigation, more questions to be asked, going back to the consumer with, you know, allegations forwards and backwards. So it can take anything from a month to 6 months. It depends on the complexity. I mean, some cases are really complex and they need to get expert reports to consider. So, but I think a consumer will know, you know, that his case is really complicated and all of these things are happening. But it's not something that we can do overnight. You cannot have this process, a detailed, thorough process, taking all the legal ramifications into account and do it overnight. Mm.
But sometimes you can escalate in terms Correct. Of, I sent someone to you, and the case was they were putting the house up for auction. They were Correct. Executing on a for sale. Now, in some cases, you would obviously, if it was flagged as urgent, you would investigate quickly.
Correct. You know, so obviously, all consumers feel, especially if they lose money, especially if a claim is not paid out. You know, they always feel that this is. I mean, it's really dire and upsetting, and people come to us normally already in a very upset state. But all 10,000 cases that we've dealt with year to date, you know, are not urgent. Mm. But we try. And as you say, you know, an auction here, a person who's vulnerable, like say, for example, who is already in their 80s and they really need their money because their whole pension disappeared. They can't even buy food. We will go to the institution and we'll say, this one you need to look at immediately. And they will help.
And if a consumer's not happy with the outcome, if they feel that you've looked at the case and they don't agree with your recommendation, do they have recourse?
Yes. So in our new rules of this new scheme, we have an appeal process. So there's an appeal tribunal of 3 retired judges. That's, they're not part of the scheme at all. They are retired judges. And if anybody, you know, this is the financial institution or the consumer, if they're not happy with our finding in this matter, they can then escalate it to this appeal tribunal. And one of those judges will have a look at the matter and make a final decision.
I'm going to ask you a little bit of a contentious question here. Some of the feedback that I get, or not feedback, perception, is that the ombuds is captured because it is an industry body. So they're saying, actually, you work for the banks, you work for the insurers, you don't work for me as the consumer. How do you respond to that?
Well, obviously, that's not true at all. I think if anybody understands how we set up, there will be no such allegation. So we're an institution, yes, it's funded by the industry with a once-off payment in the beginning of the year so that we can run the office. Those payments have got absolutely nothing to do with how we find in the individual cases, in the thousands of individual cases that my lawyers in the office adjudicate. So they get a case on their desk and they take a lot of pride in their matters, and they also know that these matters can go on appeal. So they have to make the correct decision. They have to work, and deal with it properly. The payment that was received from the financial institution by the organization in the beginning of the year as part of our funding model, it's got absolutely nothing to do with those thousands of cases that the lawyers deal with. And I think if we've ever found in favor of a consumer, they will definitely not feel that. I think it's often the people, if we find against them, if we find that the financial institution was in the right, then I think there's a knee-jerk reaction, well, it's obviously because we are captured. Mm. But the 300 million that we've already recovered for people year to date, just under 300 million.
In 5 months.
Correct.
5 months, you've got 300 million back
for consumers. So wow. I think that also should speak, for itself. So that money would not have been in the consumers' pockets if it wasn't for the ombud scheme. Mm. Because there was an independent person investigating. And it's not always because they're doing something wrong on purpose. Sometimes it's a difference of opinion. So it's just that extra pair of eyes looking at a set of facts and saying, no, hang on, there's a different way to look at this. Or we use our fairness jurisdiction.
your fairness jurisdiction, I want to talk about that briefly, because one of the things that came to my mind was the importance of financial institutions buying into this, because it does create trust. Without trust, if people no longer trust the financial institutions and the financial industry, we're in trouble. So it's incredibly important that we have an ombud that is trusted. And that is why I think the financial industry does buy into the whole. They listen to you, they take your recommendations, because they recognize that. And if systemic risks are being picked up, if you're finding that there's a piece of legislation or wording in documents that is consistently going against consumers, that is something that you can, you know, this is very important. And so maybe just talk a little bit about fairness.
So the ombud scheme has a fairness jurisdiction, which our regulators don't have. So a regulator can look at a complaint. You know, if they receive a complaint, they can look, you know, did the institution follow the letter of the law? Yes or no. But we go beyond that. So I think starting point is still the legal contract, because all of these matters start with a legal relationship between the customer and the financial institution. I mean, otherwise, you know, what? Where do you start?
Have some sort of basis.
There's a basis. So we start there. It's not like we just take that contract and throw it out the window and don't have any regard to it. No, no, no. We do have to start there. But then there's also the latest legislation, and then there's case law. And then after taking all of that into account, we still have a fairness jurisdiction where we can say, we see all of this. We see the contract clause. We see what the parties agree to. But in this matter, the outcome is inherently unfair, and we want to convince the institution to do something different. Sometimes we get them to rewrite the clauses because they see that if we find that it's unfair to a consumer in this instance, we will see it in the next one too. But we often just need that first case, you know, for somebody to bring it to us to say, hang on, why does it work like that? This is not right. We need to do it differently. And the financial institutions often, they are really willing to listen to us when we say to them, you know, the rest is all fine, but this one clause that this consumers are complaining about needs to change. And then they do. So those are the big wins, when we get them to change practice and clauses in contracts. And that's where our fairness jurisdiction comes in. We don't just say, this is the clause, we apply it, and there's no recourse. So we go beyond. We also look at fairness when we look at vulnerable consumers. So there's nothing wrong there. The contract is fine, the law is fine, it's clear. But we're dealing with an 85-year-old who didn't understand exactly what was happening on his internet banking profile. And then we argue, but based on fairness, they need to help. And they will listen.
For me, what has really come out of this conversation is how important it is to complain to the ombud. You know, and I really want to urge you, those of you listening now, is that if you have a complaint, you're going to make a much bigger impact by going to an ombud than going onto TikTok. Because if you take it to the ombud could actually get clauses changed. You could actually impact and benefit other people and other consumers out there. So I think this is really, really powerful, Rihanna, and, you know, understanding that, that if the ombud is picking up problems, they can resolve them, they can resolve bigger issues. Quite frankly, a TikTok video is, you know, it's maybe fun, it's getting you views, but it's not going to really change the world. So I just want to thank you so much, Rihanna. I think it's been a really, really insightful conversation. Thank you.
Thank you, Maya.
And to all of those of you listening, please continue to listen to the many episodes going ahead. We are going to be interviewing all of the Leeds ombuds from all the various divisions so that we can really understand how they make their decisions. We're going to be looking at case studies. We're going to be really understanding the ombud system to help you as the consumer understand your rights and your responsibilities. But most importantly, remember the ombud system is free. So please do not waste your money on lawyers.